welcome to pilot season. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, I went straight into it. I'm Patrick Brogan, and alongside me is Alan Byrne. Hello, Alan Byrne.
I wasn't
I
ready
know.
For this.
I'm keeping you on your toes, making this podcast all slick and dynamic and ever-changing, like the sky or the wind or...
Sarah Jane's outfits.
Yes, that's the show that we watched. I tried to watch because it wasn't an easy sit. I liked it better when it was called The Wicker Man. I know.
Spoilers. We'll be expecting good stuff now.
I didn't say which Wicker Man.
I think both of them are better than this.
Yeah, today we are actually looking at a thing that's related to Doctor Who.
Yes. And it's also Christmas related.
Perfect timing.
It is the first Doctor Who Christmas special.
It's K-9 and Company.
And yay! Oh, wait, no, hang on. That's the wrong reaction.
And the theme tune was written by a guy who did the orchestral work for Thin Lizzy's song, something or other. I can't remember which one now. He did work for Thin Lizzy. He worked on the Pogues Fairy Tale of New York doing orchestral stuff. He did stuff with the Corrs. He did the orchestral arrangements on Boomtown Rats, I Don't Like Mondays. He's worked on Pearl Harbor. He's worked on K-9 and Company.
Yes, the theme music was made by one Ian Levine, who is well known in Doctor Who fan circles as being Doctor Who super fan.
Not just him. There was Fiacre thing. The other guy I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ian Levine has a lot of music industry connections, and that's how Fiacre became involved in this.
We're calling him Fiacre because I can't remember his surname. I think it's Tench or Trench from Drogheda.
Ian Levine's musical contributions include something I'm not sure if Patrick's ever heard of. Patrick, did you know that when Doctor Who went on an 18-month hiatus during the Sixth Doctor's era, there was a charity single about the plight of Doctor Who?
Oh, do tell.
It's called Doctor in Distress, and it's got, among other people, Colin Baker singing a song in the style of Band-Aid to try and raise support for Doctor Who.
Okay.
It's absolutely
that
terrible.
Sounds
worth a watch, but
sounds
terrible.
Terrible. That sounds possibly the worst thing. Not the worst thing, but certainly a bad thing. Does it involve Doctor Who villains singing? Because it should.
You know, I think it might. I can't remember off the top of my head who was in it, but I have this weird feeling that the Master was in Doctor in Distress.
What I want to know is there a moment where, I don't know, Davros is like totally just giving it his all vocally into a microphone?
Davros, no.
Just imagine like.
Okay, I have a list of
I want
here.
Davros to have like the Bono line. Yeah.
The supergroup, which was called Who Cares, featured Colin Baker, Nicola Bryant, who was the then companion Perry, Nicholas Courtney, the Brigadier, and the Master, Anthony Ainley. The music was played by Hans Zimmer.
Of course.
The now Academy Award winning orchestrator of
Blockbuster theme
Christopher Nolan movies. Blockbuster and Going for Gold theme tune writer Hans Zimmer.
Was it just Going for Gold?
He definitely did Going for Gold. I'm not sure about Blockbusters.
I might have been confusing the two, but yeah. The Oscar award-winning Going for Gold composer.
Other celebrities who were in it include Faith Brown, who is a comedian of some sort, Warren Kahn from Ultravox, Floyd Pierce from Hot Gossip, Bobby G from Booksis, Richie Pitts from the cast of the stage musical Starlight Express, and David Van Day from Dollar.
Wow.
Oh, and two of the Moody Blues.
Ooh, that I like. I like how it just goes. We got the guy from Dollar, we got some guy from Ultravox. We basically went out and we got like C-list 80s people, and oh, we also got the Moody Blues.
Wikipedia informs me that Fiacre Trench was also involved in the production of that song.
I like to think the Moody Blues brought some sort of weird artsy, psychedelic-y, proggy weirdness like they tended to. Probably wasn't even like the main guy. By his name, I forget, the one that was in War of the Worlds.
The members of the Moody Blues were Justin
Hayward,
was Justin
and
John
Hayward.
Lodge.
Justin Hayward is the guy. He's the main guy.
Well, there you go. He went from War of the Worlds to a really dodgy song about Doctor Who.
The 80s was a good time for bands like that. Maybe not. That's not a peak thing to do, but you know. Queen came back in the 80s. Genesis came back in the 80s after, and were reborn and better. Welcome to the 80s music revival podcast. We're about 5 years too late for the 80s to be cool. And now we're going to talk about the adventures of K-9 and Sarah Jane in a weird house. This opened with the satanic ritual.
Whoa, 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 whoa. This opened with opening credits, Patrick, and we need to talk about these.
Oh, okay, the opening credits. Fine. Talk about the opening credits, Alan.
So not only do we have a theme tune based on the works of the masterminds who brought you this charity single that I hope that you've all stopped the podcast and to go listen to.
Don't stop.
I've experienced it. You must experience it also. But we also have footage shot especially for it, I assume, because it doesn't appear anywhere else. And probably hastily, because boy, did they pick the gloomiest day to film these opening credits on.
That's just how Doctor Who of that era looks. Gloomy. Cheap.
No, at this point it was mostly in studio, so they had lights.
And it looked cheap still.
Location shoots would have been done film, I think.
Yeah, they would have been.
This is all video. And we've got some shots of Sarah Jane doing some news writing at a desk on the street while
of course
drinking a glass of wine. Sarah Jane jogging. Sarah Jane sitting on a wall. K-9 perched precariously on the same wall. Sarah Jane's mini Metro Roadster, which was probably cool. I don't know.
It was 1981, probably.
And then we ran out of footage, so we'll show you all those shots again. But faster.
My note began with, look around you. It looks like look around you.
The more classic BBC shows you watch, the more you realize look around you is pitch perfect.
And the music is just super electric-y, synthy 80s, early 80s stuff. And every so often you just hear a little robotic voice going, K-9, K-9. Probably the best part of the entire thing, actually. Then,
unfortunately, yes.
Then we get into this weird satanic ritual where a goat-faced person burns a woman's picture and people are really whispering a lot. They're just whispering Hecate, Hecate over and over again. Like they're going to, I hoped maybe they'd break into song, but no.
I was taught it was pronounced Hecate myself.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't prescribe things to strange pagans. They have their own rules. They play by their own laws. Yeah. I want a pagan pagan renegade cop detective show. He plays by his own rules and worships his own gods, patent pending or whatever.
So I learned a thing from K-9 and Company. I actually learned many things. We'll get to those.
We learned this old woman. She's an old lecturer who has to go to America, and she's been writing in newspapers about how this town is full of weird witchcraft and gonna get the ire up with the local people because they're all real superstitious. And this entire scene is exposition.
Yes, dull and slow exposition.
Yes, my niece, Sarah Jane Smith, she is coming over to this house. I'm a lecturer. Don't you know that? I'm going to America. I don't like witchcraft and superstition. People in this town are superstitious. I know, but I'm an academic. Also, Brendan, my ward, is coming over. And there's a box over there for Sarah Jane. I brought it. Don't move it, mover guys. Okay, thank you. It says Sarah Jane Smith on the front of it. It's for Sarah Jane Smith.
My niece.
She's been traveling a lot and is very hard to find. It is terrible.
Yeah. There is no redeeming this dialogue.
In my head, I was like, are these two old lesbians? What's going on?
Hey, maybe they are.
They could be.
The episode never says that they're not. I mean, one of them, it turns out, is married, but yeah.
Hey, that doesn't necessarily stop her.
Yeah, it was the 80s. It wasn't exactly socially acceptable back then. Especially in the country where people apparently worship witches.
If only one of them was Patricia Routledge, then we'd know for sure. That's my favourite thing not many people know.
I actually didn't know that until you mentioned it just now.
Yeah, she was in a relationship with the actress who played Pat Butcher.
Oh, good for them.
I absolutely love that. It's just like, surprise, lesbian. Anyway, moving on. There are other podcasts to listen to if you want to hear lesbians discussing Doctor Who. It's called Lesbian Talk. It's the Amanda Hagen and the Omega. And they're far more qualified to talk about lesbians than we are, seeing that they are lesbians.
Yeah, we don't have the life experience.
True.
We just know the theory.
Yes. So Sarah Jane pulls up to this old house, which is the house of her aunt from the other scene. And she gets out of her little car. And I feel like she's dressed like Tom Baker. Like she's got a massive scarf and a big coat. Just, and her hair is massive in 70s. She's just missing a hat.
Yeah, yeah, actually. Now that you mention it, yeah, she was totally dressed as Tom Baker there, wasn't she?
And she meets Tracy.
George Tracy. He runs the market garden and has been previously been referred to in a scene as creepy. And it turns out he is indeed creepy.
Yes, he's very creepy. He tells her that her aunt has gone. And she's surprised at this because she's like, well, I didn't think she'd be gone. She didn't tell me she was going to be gone. She would have told me. And he's like, no, she has gone. So Sarah Jane goes inside and she finds out, and she gets a letter that's from her aunt saying, I'm not here. Here's a box. Open this box already. Would you please? I've been carrying it around for ages and it's bloody huge and blue.
But she can't because the phone keeps ringing.
Oh, yeah. The phone. This scene is so frantic with phones ringing and people coming in.
She goes over to the phone and she rings to see if a cable was sent from this number because she got a telegram from her aunt or something. This plot is kind of hard to keep track of. We'll do our best. Then she goes over to the box and reads the letter. Then the phone rings again and it's a reply saying, yeah, no, there wasn't a cable sent. And then the door rings and it's Peter Tracy, George's son, and he has tea? A flask or something? And then the phone rings again.
He has a flask full of tea. He's like, here's some tea. And then he leaves.
You should stay. I can't stay. The phone rings. Okay, well, then you better go.
He was literally Dennying the scene. He came in and he left again.
Oh, hi, Peter. I see you brought us over some tea and established that you are a character. Bye.
And the phone rings and we get Brendan, her aunt's ward. Okay.
And now, I'm only familiar with the term ward through Batman.
Yes.
So I assume that Aunt Lavinia and Brendan are a crime-fighting duo. That's what wards do, right? You get a ward and then you fight crime.
Well, the archaic verb for ward is guard or protect. So it's just someone that she protects.
By fighting crime.
I assume.
Yeah, there's nothing here to ruin this fantasy, Patrick. And I really wish you'd stop putting a damper on my joy.
Sure, it just sends him off to school where apparently he decided, nope, not going to do the whole school thing now.
It's Christmas. I think he's just coming home for Christmas.
Oh, there's that too. I kind of forgot about Christmas.
Because he talks about he's going to take on 3 new O-levels, so I assume he's going back to school.
Oh, yeah. He's the science-y guy who gets to talk science in a few minutes when they meet a dog, a robot dog. But before we meet K-9, we get to meet the commander.
Jasper!
Who is an old man who is, I'm pretty sure, mostly polo neck.
Mostly polo neck and a lot of gruff.
He meets her when she comes back from collecting Brendan at the train station and he's all like, whoa, I brought you, I came in with a dog and gave, and look, now I put on the fire. I normally do this because I just kind of come in around the back sometimes. Your aunt doesn't care. I'm an old man. Listen to me, young man. I know about market gardening. You might have your science, but I'm a commander. I have a dog.
Yeah, that's pretty much the scene. Oh, wait, the phone rings again. Because the phone does not stop ringing in this house.
It's like Sherlock and all those text messages.
This is what it was like before Facebook, Patrick. You had to ring people on the phone. So you never got anything done because the phone was always
ringing.
And
the phone weighed like 10 pounds because it was big and plastic covered and full of metal.
Now we live in easier times.
And the phones were rotary. So you had to actually make an effort to dial the phone.
You couldn't get a very good picture on them at all.
Although, ever dialed a rotary phone? They are.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Quick, clang, clang. Quick, clunk, clang. And heaven forbid you forget what number you dialed last.
Where was I?
Start again. Is it after the phone call that we finally get to this damn titular dog bot?
Yes, the phone call is from Mrs. Baker, who is the woman that Aunt Lavinia was talking to, the potentially lesbian lover. And she invites Sarah Jane over for drinks and stuff. And then Jasper says that he doesn't like Mrs. Baker. And he leaves. And he says that she should keep the back door locked. or else more people will probably come in and start lighting fires.
Well, you know, that actually gets phone calls. I'm reimagining the scene as Jasper getting up and going, I don't like that woman, and then lock the back door and just walking out.
No, it's much slower paced than that.
This is 50 minutes.
They've got an hour
to
film.
50 minutes long.
That's two whole episodes of classic Doctor Who.
And it's paced like it's 50 minutes long.
It takes an eternity, guys.
Yeah, it takes at least... like at least 15, 20 minutes before K-9 even shows up.
Speaking of, what's in the box?
Ooh, it's a robot dog. They open up the box and it's K-9, and K-9's like, yo, I'm K-9. Hi.
And Brendan literally lolls at the pun.
Yes.
He has never heard a funnier thing.
He sort of creepily kind of goes,
for which Sarah Jane rightly admonishes him.
And they talk to K-9. Actually, this made me learn a thing. I thought Sarah Jane knew what K-9 was.
No, Sarah Jane left before K-9 was introduced.
Ah, so the doctor's like, guess I'll send this to Sarah Jane. She knows what it is.
It's a Christmas present, maybe?
I don't want this dumb dog, okay? Get it out of my TARDIS.
No, this is actually a different K-9, because K-9 left the TARDIS with Romana.
Okay.
When they went off into... East space. This is complicated. But yeah, no. The doctor said, I'll get another one and send it to Sarah Jane. She probably need a dog.
Yeah. I still don't really get K-9.
It's a robot dog. It's a dog that's robotic, so you don't really have to feed it or anything. That's cool. And he knows science stuff. And he can talk.
We had this discussion on last week's podcast, which, as we're recording, this hasn't come out yet. But it will have come out by the time this podcast comes out. Otherwise, that wouldn't make any sense. But of all the things the doctor could have, a robot dog, why?
Why would he have a regular dog? He's an alien from another planet and got a time machine. Of course he'd get a robot future dog.
And K-9's just annoying. It's just like this little annoying voice and his little, maybe a bit mistress. That sounds like the Diamond Hagen episode, minion talking right there. Diamond Hagen references tonight. Weird. Probably because it's Doctor Who related. Could have had her on, probably.
Too late now.
I won't try.
She'll have
to
kill us later.
My impression, because I just turn into a camp old lady. The kid, Brendan, he knows so much stuff about how K-9 is built, apparently.
Yeah. He's surprisingly well up on future robot dog technology.
Yeah, he's that in school, apparently.
And he is geeking the hell out. His next, like, five scenes are him geeking out over K-9.
Yeah. Although he just kind of my notes say he gets in a slight fight with the dog. They start bickering over something, and then Sarah Jane's like, stop! I'm not going to lie. My next note describes how I was feeling at this point. This is dull. It is a dull Wicker Man with a robo dog. And that shouldn't be dull.
No, there's no way that sentence could be dull, is it?
But given the context of this entire bloody thing, it is just...
Somehow they managed it. Somehow they made the Wicker Man wear a robot dog boring.
And wasn't this meant... I was reading up on this before the podcast, and my understanding, before I watched it, my understanding was that this was... They decided to do a K-9 spin-off because K-9 was popular with children. And this weird satanic cult thing... It was a kids show idea. Early 80s sci-fi writers, you don't know what kids like, do you?
Ah, but it aired at 5:45, so it must have been for kids.
Yeah.
I did a little research into at least one fan's opinion of this. There's a fantastic blog called Adventures of Life in Space, where a lifelong Doctor Who fan gets his wife to watch every episode of Doctor Who with him. His wife... kind of likes the new series. Didn't watch any of the classic because, you know, it's old and boring and from the past, which for the most part can be true about Doctor Who.
It is true.
And he watched this when he was a kid and remembered mostly being bored. So probably not satanic enough to keep the kids entertained.
Well, I guess thinking back on it, you can get away with being a bit like... We had the Demon Headmaster in my day of being a child. That was...
Yeah. That was really scary. He turned the kids into bees.
I forgot that. He legitimately turned kids into bees. And they kept finding really strange ways to bring him back.
That was terrifying.
I felt they kept killing him, and then he would keep coming back as more and more weirdness. That was a good show. Unlike this one. My next note here tells me that Brendan gets attacked by two guys who break into the house when obviously...
Right, yes. Sarah Jane goes to Mrs. Baker's for that drink that she was offered. And Peter's all like, hey, you're a dog with science stuff. You know market gardening? You could help me out with that. So he goes out to get a soil sample, leaves the door open.
Oh.
Despite being expressly told to keep the door closed by Jasper. And then two guys come in. It's Peter and George Tracy. And they attack Peter from behind. And then K-9 stuns... No, they attack Brendan from behind. K-9 stuns Peter and George runs away. And K-9 slowly gives chase.
Ever so slowly.
Look, I like K-9 and all, but don't get him into high-speed chases, guys. He's got like a 1 mile per hour tops. Probably not even that. Gonna outrun him at a brisk walk.
He managed to knock over a bunch of stuff. I was kind of zoning out at this point. All I see was K-9 just like knocking over some garden furniture. And the next day, everyone's looking at this garden furniture and going, someone's had a dog knock this over. And then there's a weird discussion about acidity in soil, which is apparently the undercurrent of this entire thing is soil acidity.
Oh, also that night, Sarah Jane went to what's probably a swingers party?
Well, it was. It wasn't quite the 70s, but it was near enough.
Yeah, they looked like they were swingers in the 70s, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and that scene too that... pretty sure Mrs. Baker flat out insults Sarah Jane in that scene.
Yeah, I can't remember the specifics.
Oh yeah, she's like, oh, just drink up, it'll loosen you up more. Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Sarah Jane's kind of PO'd because people keep ringing her on the phone and stuff, I suppose. Or maybe because her aunt's mysteriously missing. Yeah. One
I
of those
telling
things.
Her to drink up again. Again, fits into the weird swinger vibe. Just like... Drink up and join our crazy 70s sex fun.
I did keep expecting these drinks to be spiked or something.
Yeah.
They're really keen for Sarah J to drink. But apparently they're just
also
pushers.
Bear in mind, this is, again, show for children. And Sarah Jane's at a party getting her drink on. It was a different time.
So yeah, they have a nice discussion about the greenhouse and market gardening. Hooray, market gardening.
Good lord.
Thrill as we discuss stuff.
The soil over here, the pH balance of 8. Over there, it's 11. Over there, it's 9. I know about pH balances, you weird child from the out-of-way places. Yeah, out-of-way places, because I'm a small country person. Don't know words.
Well, I know pH balances.
I'm going to go off, and I'm going to worship me some weird goddesses.
Oh, yes, right. Yeah, there was a scene before this where... George comes back home and he starts ranting about how the dog is one of Hecate's familiars and out to get him. Or Hecate,
whatever.
Sorry.
Yeah, whatever. The weird, they're weird god thingy that they, and they're all paranoid and junk.
So he's especially creepy today.
And eventually Peter disappears and Brendan disappears.
Yes, eventually. George tells Peter to go and kidnap one of them for witchcraft reasons. And Peter's all like, but they'll make me go to jail. Do you want to go to jail or do you want a witch after you? Yeah, that's what I thought. So Brendan goes to the door that night and opens it. He's going out somewhere and he hears a piss. And Peter hugs him away. It's the weirdest kidnapping. He just completely grabs him with both arms and then pulls him out the door.
I had totally zoned out by then. I don't remember that happening at all. I remember the policeman and the goat.
Yes, that'll happen in a while, because Sarah Jane reads some books on witchcraft all night, and then Brendan's missing, and she reckons she knows who did it, and goes to George Tracy's not-so-creepy house. It's just a regular house. There's no one inside, and she leaves K-9 inside, because K-9 has a plan.
Dog plan.
And then she goes off to tell the police that, you know, her kind of cousin is missing, and she blames Peter Tracy, and the police tell her that Peter is also missing.
Ooh.
But it turns out that the policeman is in league with George Tracy. Although somewhat unwillingly.
You can either go... The Wicker Man's a pretty obvious pretty obvious parallel here. It's so very obvious. It's
yes.
It's like, but that, but because Hot Fuzz, all I could think of was Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. The police being involved in a huge conspiracy where people keep going missing. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Spoilers if you haven't watched Hot Fuzz. Watch Hot Fuzz. It's way better than this.
Hot Fuzz came out like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Didn't it?
I mean, if you haven't seen it by now, I'm not going to save you from spoilers.
But watch Hot Fuzz. It's for the greater good.
And it's got Timothy Dalton in it. Everyone likes Timothy Dalton.
And Edward Woodward from The Wicker Man.
It's true.
Many reasons
also,
to go watch
The
it.
Wicker Man. It's much better than this.
Yeah, either one. Like even the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man is it's more entertaining than this. He punches women while in a bear suit.
And it's dedicated to Joey Ramone. which this definitely isn't.
Oh, it really should just end with dedicated to Joey Ramone. Everything should end with that.
I'm gonna end the next, either this podcast or the next video, with that.
So yeah, the policeman isn't really happy with the whole human sacrifice
thing.
No,
because no one's been sacrificed since 1891.
Yes, and so you know, why break a habit?
But he took a vow, Alan. He took a vow to.
Yeah, Hecate has to be appeased for
the will
reasons.
Of Manos must be maintained.
Did they ever actually say why they have to do the human sacrifice now? Oh, wait, there was something about the crops.
Yeah, the entire thing with Hecate is tied into how their crops do, and they think that worshipping Hecate is, like, going to make the crops good.
Because earlier Jasper was talking about how all his crops got lost in a hailstorm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So they must be trying to appease Hecate this time by killing a dude.
Yeah, the kind of feeling that... Yeah, the way how there were some... Doctor Who, wasn't it like a Doctor Who episode that's like a classic one that is like a vegetarianism?
Yes, the two doctors is a pro-vegetarianism story.
You kind of get the feeling this is a pro-market gardening story.
And anti-witchcraft, yeah. I suppose?
I was kind of thinking like the way some writers would use that would kind of bring their own personal beliefs and their own personal kind of thing into the episode to sort of wax lyrical about certain things. I feel like whoever wrote this was sort of going into their, I like market gardening. I'm going to write about market gardening in this and how, I guess, witchcraft is bad for market gardening or good for it. I'm not too sure. The more I think about that, the less likely it is. Or that this was pro and more anti-market gardening. Like the writer's like, I hate market gardeners. They all worship evil. And there's a scene coming up where... Sarah Jane's talking to, I think, Mrs. Baker about this whole witchcraft idea. And Mrs. Baker says, it's very romantic, but this is 1981.
Yeah, K-9 heard this whole thing because he's been in George Baker's house. And that's how Sarah Jane finds out about the witchcraft.
Mm.
They keep breaking into George Baker's house and she doesn't seem to notice ever.
He's too busy, you know, having sexy parties.
Oh, sorry, George Tracy's house.
Well,
not Baker.
He's too busy running a cult.
Yeah,
exactly. Cults take up an awful lot of time. And the next bit I remember, because again, I was zoning in and out. Next thing I know, K-9 is looking for maps and they're trying to find a chapel.
A bit ahead of us because you forgot that the policeman has a seizure.
Oh, that was that.
While leaving the house.
That's what that was.
He leaves the house on the bicycle and Sarah Jane follows him in the car, so she's probably going to win. And he has a badly acted seizure.
Oh, that's is that when the goat appears?
Yes.
I just remember.
Sarah Jane finds him and there's a noise behind her and a surprise goat.
Because I just tuned out next minute, a guy's violently shaking and then there's a goat. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not going to rewind because whatever happened there is probably going to be nowhere near as fun as what I think it is. And what I thought it was that this guy had died and that all of a sudden there was a creepy supernatural goat involved somehow.
I'm not entirely sure how supernatural this goat is. The episode is actually really vague on whether or not witchcraft exists.
That's true, actually.
Because there's no explanation for why this guy dramatically has a heart attack other than witchcraft. Possibly goat-related witchcraft.
Goat was Hecate, obviously.
But he could just have had a convenient heart attack.
I used to play bass for convenient heart attack.
I think in a later scene they put it down to fright.
From a goat?
Yeah, maybe he just saw the goat and was like, ah,
Hecate. Scary night goats coming after you.
Or maybe witchcraft's real. It is a Doctor Who spinoff. Then where they did that one with witches. Turns out it was just sufficiently advanced language.
Well, then is it then we get to the thing where Canine's like, bring me a map, and Saturday's like, there's an ordnance survey map over here. Yeah. It gets so exciting. Yeah. They bring up ordnance survey maps. Nothing is more thrilling than an ordnance survey map. And I say that as a historian who has studied ordnance survey maps.
So he knows what's what.
I have several of them. Apparently Canine doesn't like have some sort of database of maps and things in his little super advanced dog body.
Apparently not.
Loser.
Also, he needs to be told what the symbol for a church is.
I'm beginning to think Canine's not as good and not as cool as you make him out to be, Alan.
He's still got a laser in his nose, so he's got that going for him.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. A fantastic effect.
Meanwhile, Peter Tracy is auditioning for the Cobra Kai dojo.
Oh, yeah. They do end up wearing weird outfits, don't they?
He's wearing this weird red sleeveless one-piece short-leg outfit.
I like how you're struggling so hard to figure out just what it was he was wearing.
Yeah, well, it's the only time I've seen one of these. But he's being initiated into the cult against his will, kind of.
And Brendan's wearing a white one.
Yeah, Brendan gets a white one.
I wonder if that's some sort of metaphor. Is it like, is he like the virgin sacrifice? White.
Probably.
He's wearing white. And Peter's wearing red because he's evil or not a virgin. Red would make sense for that whole color, that whole sort of color scheme. Red Riding Hood, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah. So Sarah Jane and K-9 go off looking for churches because the witches will be at churches.
A chapel.
And they have a near miss with a killer tractor.
Oh, yeah. It turned into like a weird 90s farm safety video for a minute there. I swear I saw those kind of videos growing up.
Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of those 1970s public service announcement.
Don't drive in a car with your robot dog in the country unless you're going to be aware of tractors.
John Pertwee probably did one of those. He did a lot of those. But yes, they go looking for churches, and then they check all the churches and there's no witches at all the churches. And then K-9's there looking at the map. He's like, what's up with this symbol? Oh, that's a chapel.
Ah, that's where chapel comes out.
That's where chapel comes in. And it turns out there's a chapel on the grounds of the house, making that entire thing a pointless waste of time. Padding. Padding is what it was.
They must have been given 50 minutes and had to fill it and didn't have the plot.
Oh, God, yes. Because earlier on, we skipped over this because I couldn't figure out what the hell the point of this scene was. Sarah Jane and Jasper just go to a house and there's no one in the house and they leave again. I went back to watch it again to try and figure out whose house they went to. What the point of this scene was. And no, I can't. I don't know. I'm sorry. No. I tried.
Again, I zoned in and out so much that the next thing I remember is Brendan's weird Manos Master's wife outfit.
Yeah, Brendan gets a nice white number with a very deep V-neck.
Oh, that was it was pretty deep, and there was like a belt thing that kind of circumvented his little V-neck, for as I recall. It was weird.
Yeah.
Nice for the cult to have these kind of things lying around, I guess. And everyone's evil, and K-9 saves them, right?
Yeah, so got the whole ritual sacrifice thing going on. Knife, cup, knife. And then K-9 stuns the druids in the Hecate masks, and Sarah Jane does some alleged fighting. The choreography needs work.
But she saves everyone from...
And it was the Post Lady and Jasper all along. Ooh. Oh yeah, we didn't mention the Post Lady because her scene was boring and pointless, and only there to establish that the Post Lady was a character who existed and then turns out to be one of the leaders of the cult.
Yeah, that was dumb as hell.
Yeah.
And it ends with them all going back to the Bakers, I think, for
back
Christmas.
who weren't in the coven.
Despite the fact the entire thing was leading towards them being in the coven.
So, you know, twist. I was really expecting when Sarah Jane said, well, I, for a while there, I thought you were in the coven, for them to actually reveal themselves to be in the coven and this being a bit of, you know, drama.
Yeah.
But no, no.
I was
they
expecting
weren't.
It to end.
This is a hacky wrap-up
I was
scene.
Expecting it to end with like something like creepy reference to Hecate in their house or something. But no, it's K-9 saying, we wish you a Merry Christmas. That ends the entire thing.
Oh, no, hang on. Patrick, we have to solve a mystery.
Mystery?
Where is Sarah Jane's aunt?
Oh, yeah, she's in America.
Yeah. It wasn't a mystery at all.
It was a complete MacGuffin.
It's not even a MacGuffin. A MacGuffin is a thing that drives the story and is desirable to the cast members.
It was just pointless. It was shaping up to be a MacGuffin until they sort of ditched it.
Yeah.
Because she's the only reason she goes there in the first place. And you did the... Oh, when I think about this, the absolutely dire the writing is. Just, like, they set this whole thing up with the aunt, and the next thing, oh no, she's not there at all. She was in America the whole time.
It's the worst mystery!
Yeah.
I have very strong opinions on mysteries, Patrick. It hasn't really come up now because we haven't done a lot of detective shows. But you can't do this in a mystery. Agatha Christie would not stand for it.
Go into detail, Alan. I know you want to.
The worst kind of crime mystery is the kind of crime mystery where the entire setup for getting your investigator in there is entirely pointless. The second worst is when it doesn't actually matter who the killer was. Unless, I have exceptions, unless it was for comedic effect. Because Clue has 3 multiple endings and is fantastic. But Heavy Rain is a lot
better. I'm going to throw a thing in there that really annoys me and annoyed me about Monk is that when you have a pre-credit sequence that pretty much tells you who did the thing.
No, I that's cool. That's Columbo did that. It's a different dynamic.
I hate it. I want
no,
the mystery.
Well, Columbo-wise, it's not what it's about. It's about Columbo solving the crime and convincing everybody that he's a complete bumbling idiot and Peter Falk being amazing. Did Monk always do that? I didn't watch as much Monk as you did.
It didn't at the start, and then it started doing it later on. And I didn't enjoy it because I thought that it was sort of... I thought it just undercut the entire thing. I hate that. I just hate it as a... I hate it as a device because you're watching it going, yeah, well, I kind of know they did that. And, I mean, I guess it's kind of cool to find out how Monk figures out the whole thing, but I want the double impact of seeing Monk figure it out and then finding out how it's done without already knowing, oh, yeah, it was that dude that did it. I just never liked that thing. Although this is overly long, ripping from the Wicker Man wholeheartedly,
and
not well.
Where's the big burning Wicker Man, guys?
I want to watch the actual Wicker Man again one day. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, it's so good. Got Christopher Lee.
We do have bad movie nights from time to time. We do good movie nights from time to time as well. And I feel like Owen, Alan's brother, has seen The Wicker Man so many times that we should surprise him one day.
And show him the good one. You know he listens to this podcast, so it's not really going to be a surprise.
I was thinking that as I said it. But he'll never know when we'll do it. Shut up, Owen. Oh, let's just talk to Owen right now. Hi, Owen. How are you? Enjoying the podcast? Having fun? Hope you're sitting comfortably. I'm in your ears. I'm inside your mind. I know you're wearing a hat right now because you always wear a hat. But what's under the hat? Is it a smaller hat? Are you just a series of hats all the way down?
So that's the most inside this podcast has gone.
I was just talking to our listener.
We have other listeners.
True, but that one in particular I want to talk to. Okay, let's get the list out and try and decide. This is the point where everyone hears me clicking because I have not open the thing.
Because you don't have the list open in advance because you're a terrible, terrible host.
That's
I have it ready. I was
That's
prepared.
Not necessarily true.
It is, though.
Okay, it is. Okay, then. Fine, then. If you have the list to hand, why don't you read it, then, Mr. Wise Pants?
Well, you want me to read the whole list? There's 33 things on this. We've been doing this a while.
Read the whole list. Let's just decide before we read whatever part of the list you want to read. Where would you put this?
Okay, this is a low end list, clearly, because it's boring.
It is boring. It's not bad in the
list. It's not
bad.
Yeah, it isn't reprehensible.
No.
But it's boring, and I want no more of it. And I'm really glad that the Sarah Jane Adventures is so much better.
Is the Sarah Jane Adventures in continuity with this?
Yes.
Ah.
This is totally Doctor Who canon and is how Sarah Jane got K-9.
Okay. I'm looking at the list. Now, it actually opened while you were talking. And this feels like a middle-of-the-road episode, a middle-of-the-road show to me. Like,
Yeah, it's in a Clarissa Now area where it's cardboard. I'd rank it lower than Clarissa Now because we managed to pay attention to all of that.
Yeah, because it was shorter.
And it had an internally consistent plot.
I feel like this could have been good as well.
Yeah, there's nothing entirely wrong with the premise. Yeah. Because that clearly works.
Yes.
Once it was fixed, it ran for 5 years.
Yeah.
And the only thing that stopped it was the untimely passing of Elizabeth Sladen.
Yeah, it could have worked. I'm looking at this and going... Okay, so like the midpoint of the list, if we say this could go somewhere between, I don't know, 10th and 20th, we'll say 20th, around there somewhere. Be lower. There you're talking, Emily's Reasons Why Not, The IT Crowd, Clarissa Now, Red Dwarf, Coupling, Doctor Strange, Super Pup, Big Bang Theory, Pride of the X-Men, J. Edgar Doyle, and Look Well.
Right. I think it's definitely lower than Clarissa Now, which is our usual benchmark for...
Yes, for just dull.
For good, bad.
Yes.
So next down is The IT Crowd.
I'm struggling to decide whether... The IT Crowd's pretty bland, too.
Mm. Richard Ayoade is the shining light of that. And much as I like Elizabeth Sladen and K-9, irrational as K-9 might be, I don't think this is as good as the US IT Crowd.
No, I don't think... I think it's probably better than Emily's Reasons Why Not and Clerks.
Yeah, Emily's Reasons Why Not has a lot of things going against it.
Oh, quite a lot. And Clerks has a lot more going against it.
Yeah, that's about the area I'd put it, because K-9 and Company is dull, but it's not as bad as Emily's Reasons Why Not. I feel like that there really should be a few more things in this area, and we'll probably fill that up as the podcast goes on.
I certainly will.
But yeah, that's where I'd put it. Position number 20 on the list.
So a new number 20. Wow, how exciting. A new number 20 is K-9 and Company. Next week, we're going to do the second That 70s Show related show that we've done on this podcast that isn't That 70s Show.
How many more of these can we do?
Literally one. And it's next week.
Yes, we are doing That 80s Show.
Remember That 80s Show? It actually went to series, and I remember watching it and being mildly disappointed. I should have mentioned at the start of this podcast, I released a video last week, which is why the Steven Universe vs. Adventure Time podcast did not go up until last week. This is really confusing because I'm talking a week in the future for when this is going to happen. Time.
As we record this, it has not yet gone up. So Patrick has a lot of causality problems going on in his head right now. It's very appropriate that we're doing Doctor Who related stuff while Patrick is confused
by
time.
It's really confusing. But yeah, so 2 weeks ago, as of this airing, a new video came out. The Elephant Man video, which I have been long working on. Oh God, it was a while. For various reasons. Namely because we had that little short bit beforehand, which had to be filmed early in August because we needed to have Sarah, and Sarah is not often in this country or on this continent. So we had to get all sorted, and we had to get the music sorted for that, which was done by our friend and former guest Robert Lucas. And then I had to get the bit from Leon, which I had a month before I released the episode, because I had to write the rest of the episode and film it and edit it. And I'm really busy. So it took a while. And that's why we couldn't get the last week's podcast out 2 weeks ago when it should have been out. But the Elephant Man video is good, apparently. It's been doing rather well, because Leon is in it, probably. But it's like a mini Renegade Cut episode in my video. So if you like Renegade Cut and don't listen and don't watch my show, which is weird because you're listening to this podcast, you should probably check out the Elephant Man video on Nerdvice and RT Gomer Productions and on my website and YouTube and subscribe and stuff. Also, while you're at it, I guess you can support Leon on Patreon or like listen to Word Funk or Dice Funk or Renegade Cut or whatever he's doing. Leon's nice. I'm being mean. Leon is lovely.
Yeah, Leon's a great guy.
He's a great guy. And he was nice enough to be the most frequent guest appearance maker on anything that I make.
Yeah, this is like his third time being involved in Unemployed Endeavor stuff, isn't it?
Yes, actually.
Because he was in the... was he in
What
Line?
He was telling me, he was one of the many people who told me, who said to me that they hate me. Then he came on the cage and then he did this. And I appeared in Renegade Cut, in one of the few Renegade Cut, in one of the, Leon does like one crossover a year, and I was in one of them. First time I ever appeared on that glasses.channelawesome.com, that place. One day, I'll have to get Diamond Hog into a video, actually, because I tried to do that for St. Patrick's Day, but her camera broke, and I couldn't get her in. I wanted to get Jill and Diamond in the video, because, obviously, you know, we're all Irish, Diamond, kind of.
You should probably mention Jill in this instance is Saoirse
Jill Mercer. Saoirse Mercer of Stuff You Like.
Well, we're name-dropping people.
One, the Circle guy could have been in it, but, like, who wants that, really? He's not listening. I hate you, Rob. I hate you so much.
I have no real strong opinions
He's
on
from
you either
Cork.
Way, Rob.
That should give you reason enough. I've been blathering on long enough. I think we can stop this. That's been ranting, name-dropping, and... I guess insulting my friends. So I have been Patrick Brogan, and if you want to have more ranting, name dropping, and friend insulting from me, you can find me at theunemployedhistorian.com and on Wikipedia, but no, youtube.com, where you can find my channel. You can find this podcast on iTunes, and you can also find it on nerdvice.com and ortgomerproductions.com and general internet's places where you find these things.
Patrick, before you throw to me, you should ask people for history stuff for this video you're
planning. Oh, yes. People, ask me questions about history and stuff, because I'm trying to collect a bunch of history questions to do a series of videos, but I've only got a few questions so far, because I already haven't really been pushing that, because, again, I've been busy. So, Alan, if people wanted to find you, would they, for example, have to look in a crate that was... being carted around by their old, possibly lesbian aunt?
That's not the best way to find me, but it could conceivably happen, I suppose. Depends on if I get kidnapped in the next one.
Oh, we're working on that.
Okay, well, then that's a possibility. Or you could try me on Twitter, where my username is Alan Byrne, which is spelled A-L-A-N-B-E-I-R-N-E, or Tumblr, where it's alanbyrne.tumblr.com. Or you could go to my website, which is albyrne.com, but that got sacrificed recently so that we could keep the podcast going.
It's true. We'll be back next week with That 80s Show. We will talk to your ears then, listener or listeners, or Owen, whoever you may be. Goodbyes.
Bye.